Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Steve Gutzler. Steve is the president of Leadership Quest, a Seattle-based leadership development company. Steve is a dynamic, highly sought-after speaker and executive leadership coach. Steve's clients include Pandora Radio, Microsoft, Starbucks, Boeing, Cisco, Starwood Corporation, U.S. Courts, LinkedIn, Oxford Financial. The list just goes on and on of highly respected companies and individuals that Steve coaches. Steve's exceptional ability to communicate clear leadership and business sales solutions with humor, clarity, and insight is why he's in such high demand. Steve believes every presentation and coaching program should transform a life and inspire leadership. Steve's insights have gained a reputation around the world as an authority on high performance, leadership, emotional intelligence for exceptional leadership, growing leaders at every level, and accelerated sales success. Steve, welcome. Thank you so much for making the time to be here today.
Vicki, I'm so thrilled to be with you. I can't wait for our conversation. Thank you.
Well, tell me a little bit about what led you to starting your Seattle-based business, Leadership Quest.
Wow, that's such a great question. Often when I do keynote presentations or workshops, half or full day, I somehow weave that story in because when people look at my client list and some of the things that I'm able to do right now, they must think it was up and to the right and I've had this wonderful, glorious journey of a career. But I actually started my company in the midst of unemployment. I had 4 months of unemployment. I was depressed. I was going through kind of an identity crisis. I'd like to say kind of a midlife crisis prior to midlife. But all of that was good because it forced me to really do some internal questions. I'd never really had done that. I'd never grappled with my purpose and a code of honor or values clarification. And so when I went through that process, it emerged that I wanted ultimately to work with leaders. That was my passion. And I thought it'd be great to take leaders on a quest. And I thought, wow, that's a great name for a company, Leadership Quest. And so that was 20 years ago. I started with virtually nothing. And within a few months, I started gathering a handful of clients and then have been very fortunate to work with some world-class clients since then. So it's been an interesting ride.
Wow, incredible. So impressive, all the success and all the success that you created for all the individuals and all the companies you've worked with, you know, like universally, globally. So tell us a little bit more about why you selected leadership.
Yeah, leadership is a passion. I've always believed that everything rises or falls on leadership. If you look at a family, if you look at a nonprofit, if you look at a company, a small business, even an entrepreneur, it's always going to be led by a leader. And everything will rise and fall on that leadership. My son's in law enforcement. Any squad that you're on is always going to be led by a sergeant or somebody. And those individuals have such a, I just call it kind of a behavioral presence about them for good or bad. And I just know that leadership matters so deeply in so many different types of companies and organizations. So that's my passion. That's what I'm dedicated to.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And I think what is so amazing about working with leaders and really honing their skills to be the best they can be, they touch so many lives that what you do, that work continues out to hundreds and thousands of people because of their position. So it's really very powerful beyond just the people that you're working with directly. What is your primary focus in leadership in your speaking and coaching?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I think that for years, when I started in on leadership, I would talk about leadership development. I would talk about self-leadership tactics, a lot of great subjects that are very important to leaders, understanding their influence, their impact, their ability to inspire others. And that really led me to the subject of emotional intelligence. And I read Daniel Goldman's book, the landmark book on emotional intelligence. I later went back to Toronto for a week of certification in emotional intelligence. And the amazing thing about that subject is it began to uncover for me really the secrets of your most effective leaders. They're not only smart, they're not only tactically and technically bright, but they just have this sense about their own self awareness about their mood, their attitude, their emotion. They begin to recognize that they're contagious. And I think the second thing is they begin to master the art of self-regulation. I think we live in such a world of stress and relational turmoil that if you don't learn how to self-regulate as a leader, you can self-sabotage yourself and you'll have short-sighted success. So I started teaching leaders the importance of, first and foremost, be self-aware of your emotional impact. It matters. You set the tone, not only one-on-one, but an entire culture. You have so much power with your emotions. The second thing is learn how to self-regulate those emotions so you can navigate the challenges of relationships and stress. And those are the two key components, I think, Vicki, for me. There's other things, I think, pertaining to how to build emotional connections and loyalty, how to build cohesive teams. And I often say that leadership is both an art and a science. The science side is more of the, you've got to have a good strategy, you have to have a vision for your team, you have to have good technology and finances and hire quality people or partner with quality people. That's the science. The art is all of the emotional, we call it the soft skills, but they're really the hard-edged business skills that lead to true lasting success. So art and science is what we talk about.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you are so dynamic, Steve. What's the one trait that sets you apart from other leadership speakers and coaches out there?
Wow, that's interesting. I think that I'd have to say, and I mean this in all sincerity, but I think that the core trait that I try to project is a level of humility. I have not arrived. I have a lot of faults. I'm still in progress. I think people begin to pick up when I either am doing one-on-one coaching with them or speaking that I'm very much in process and we're in this together. I think that's number one. And I think number two is being authentic, being true to yourself, and just not trying to be somebody you're not. Yesterday, I trained the entire command staff of Everett Police Department, which is north of Seattle. And we had the chief there, two deputy chiefs, commanders, lieutenants, sergeants, the whole command staff at this police department. And I was with them from 8 o'clock to 5. And by the end of the day, I had several of them come up and say, thank you for just being authentic. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being open and honest. And so I've always tried to be truthful, but a careful estimation of really who I am and not overstate it. I think that comes through. I think people begin to pick that up in your speaking or coaching.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I would say now that that's important for everyone, but particularly now for law enforcement, they probably have a tremendous appreciation for that, more now than maybe ever before. So, you know, I come from a time when emotional intelligence wasn't even hardly acknowledged. I'm dating myself, but I go back that far. And why do you think now it's such a powerful message today in business and in personal relationships? It's really shifted.
It has shifted. I remember when I first brought it up, or I would bring it into corporate settings, like a Microsoft or a Boeing, or even in law enforcement. The program I do at law enforcement is called Empowerment Behind the Badge. But it's all on emotional intelligence. And a number of years ago, when you would begin to bring that in, they would almost kind of sit back, roll their eyes, think it's going to be some little soft exercise. But I think they've become more and more acknowledging of the fact that in order to succeed today, you do need to develop those social skills. You do need to develop empathy. You do need to understand true self-motivation and the drivers inside you. And a lot of leaders today have put so much emphasis on either their education or something in their technology expertise, but they're realizing they're not relating well with clients or their team, or they're not getting along with people. So workplaces, I think managers are a lot more attuned to it. We see fewer grievances within the workplace. We see better communication and collaboration. And all of that leads to the bottom line. So, I mean, if it's going to move the needle for business, they're going to be open to it. And all of the teams that I've typically worked with, they'll say, wow, we're seeing a reduction in combative emails. We're seeing a reduction in irritable responses. We're seeing, you know, greater listening within our team. And so all of that's going to lead to profitability and success. I would urge each listener, I don't know, you were mentioning you probably have coaches and authors, you have small business owners, you have corporate individuals. I would ask them all to do a personal audit on their own emotional intelligence and really ask themselves, how aware am I of my emotions and the effect they have on others? You can start with at home. You can start with friends. You can start with just a coworker. And just see what kind of response you're getting with your emotions and your moods. And then I would say enhance it. You know, grow your positive emotions. Grow your moods to lend them to be more optimistic. Watch your vocabulary. Be mindful of the words that you speak. And watch how people respond to you differently. And you'll see a whole different response. I call it the law of attraction will kick in. I mean, you'll see a whole different response. So that's a long answer, but I think that the bottom line is, you know, people today are seeing results as a result of focusing more on emotional intelligence.
Yeah. It's really, really powerful. And finally, it's gaining some recognition in the place where it should be in the world. So you have a wonderful new book out, Steve, Splash. What do you hope to communicate most in this book?
Well, Splash is going to be inspirational for people. It's 10 remarkable traits to gain momentum in life and leadership. If we were just to talk offline and say, okay, let's just talk about some traits. What are really important traits to gain momentum in life? And so Splash is a result of being, you know, just very true to myself and being very authentic and really thinking and observing things in myself and others of the key traits that really can change a life, that can create momentum in the people around you. It's not a huge book. It's not like some, game-changing. I wouldn't even say it's a game-changer. I would say it's very inspirational. It will inspire people. It will get people to think about their life, their one and only life, and how are they living it, and what are the things that they're intentional about. So I outline these 10 traits, and I elaborate with a lot of just anecdotes and stories that are heartwarming and personal things of hardship or difficulties that I've gone through or I've observed of others, but how people emerge and how their true self can truly emerge and reflect something truly great, and they'll create their own splash. I mean, that's the whole key, is they could create a real splash and ripple effect of goodness and grace and productivity and all the things that we all want.
I just love that. I love the title of the book, and it's so attention-getting. It's so strong. Why did you pick the title, Splash?
Well, splash comes from, you know, I mentioned being unemployed, and I was going through this time. And that was a defining moment for me prior to starting my business. And shortly after that, I realized that I was kind of in a bit of a funk. My moods would kind of swing around a little bit. I live in Seattle. We've had beautiful weather here, by the way, I think 52, 53 days of beautiful weather. But typically in the fall and the winter, it gets kind of gloomy and rainy and misty. And we were in one of those gloomy, I call them the doldrum days, you know. And we were in those days. And one day I was rounding the corner in my car in my subdivision. There was a group of probably first graders, and they were huddled together. It was raining, and one little guy was in a rain slicker, and he was jumping in puddles and doing like a 360 dance. You know, he was just like taking it in and looking up and laughing and giggling, and all the others were kind of mumbling and grumbling. And I had to literally stop and pause my car and watch this little guy. It was such a simple reminder to me, but it kind of jarred me out of my little gloomy world. Say, why not choose to be, you know, more joyful? Why not create a splash in your life, Steve? So I go back to that little story. It was kind of one of those small encounters that actually had a big impact on me. And so that's how I came up with the title of the book, Splash.
I love it. I really love it. So can you speak to 10 traits to build momentum in life and relationships? I know you talk about that in your book. Could you share maybe just one or two of those with us?
Yeah, I'm happy to. Thank you. I think, you know, the first one I love, they're all very powerful. They're simple yet powerful truths, and I think if people can adopt them and make application in their own way, it can make a difference. I mean, a real difference, lasting difference. The first one is the trait of turning your work into a calling, into a calling. So for years, I worked, and I did work that I liked, but I viewed it as work. And I had my personal life, and then I had my work. And there would be moments of satisfaction or fulfillment, but honestly, it wasn't until I started my own business and found a real, I guess, passionate purpose that I turned my work into a calling. The moment it became a calling, it became so much more powerful because I no longer was living for my days off or the weekend and with a few nice little blips in the screen during the week, but every day became kind of an enriching experience where I couldn't wait. And even though it was difficult and challenging, I was building my business, it felt like I was called. It felt like I was being pulled into the future rather than, you know, running in mud or climbing uphill. So I just explain how important it is to discover a calling. I think it begins with knowing what your center is and really getting honest to say, what's my core center? I mean, am I living it? What is it? And second of all, what are going to be the cornerstone character, my core four, as far as a character, you know, pillars, if you will, that will hold me and sustain me? And then what do I believe the communication of my life will be? What's my story? What's going to be the communication all about? And those three, I call them the three C's, they began to shape me and began to help me develop a calling. So I think probably some of your listeners sense that. They may need to revisit that. Yesterday when I was with the command staff at the officers, I said, sometimes you have to go back and rediscover your why. Why did you become a police officer? Why did you get a badge pinned on your chest? What was it that drew you? And I challenged them to turn their work into a calling again and revisit it. And I said, I don't care if what society is saying about law enforcement. My son's in law enforcement. It's a noble profession. You should be proud of it and hold your head high, and I know you do, but rediscover your why, rediscover your calling. And you could see them kind of get the spark in their eye again, and knowing that we all go through that ebb and flow, right, Vicki, where it does feel like work some days. But I would just encourage everyone that's listening today to rediscover a calling as opposed to work.
I love that, and I think that that's so important to be able to reignite that passion that you once felt, regardless of what your calling is. It's important for everyone to visit that, so thank you so much for bringing that up. Steve, you are doing so many wonderful things with the work, the contribution you're making to the world, and now this wonderful new book. what do you hope your legacy will look like down the road?
Yeah, you know, I love that question because I actually ask that of a lot of people. I talk to my clients about legacy all the time. I think it's one of the most important questions. And I want to begin by saying how most people view legacy. I think most people view legacy as the end of their life and what will be said about them, which I think is good. But I view legacy a little bit different. I believe the legacy that we leave is the life that we lead. In other words, the legacy that we will leave is the life that we're leading right now. There's not going to be a time in which you can flip a switch and say, this is what I want my legacy to be. If it's not being lived now, it won't be stated later. So for me, my primary calling is inspiring, you know, people to greatness. And I try to do it daily through passion and purpose every single day. And I try to do that with my three kids. I've got grandkids now. I try to do that with my wife. I try to inspire greatness with 30 coaching clients that I have because I know they're going to touch a number of people on teams and their families. Yesterday, speaking, I was trying to inspire them to greatness because if you live it daily, I'm not going to say you don't have to worry about your legacy, but you're already living your legacy. And so I would just say, again, to everybody, just consider how you live each day. I mean, at the end of each day, I always try to answer two questions. Who was better today because of me, number one? Because the day can go by really fast. And some days you go by and you go, gosh, I don't know if anybody was better today because of me. Maybe a couple people were worse because of me. But I think that's a good question to ask. Who was better today because of me? And the second question for me is what did I really accomplish according to my purpose? Because if I don't do something that's in alignment with my purpose, then the day was squandered. And so every day should have a little piece of your purpose in it, right? So that's how I view legacy, Vicki.
Oh, I love that. I really love that. Really beautiful. Beautiful vision. So your website, when I visited, is just filled with so much great information. You have it displayed there so generously. But one of the things that really caught my eye was when you talk about 17% moments that define us. Can you go into that in a little more detail?
Yeah, the 17% moments. So when I do an emotional intelligence keynote, I usually lead into that literally within 3 to 4 minutes, it's my first point, which I'll say all of you do. So just, you know, let's imagine we're with an audience of business people. And I would say nearly every one of you is going to navigate your work and perform at a nice level about 83% of the time. You'll handle your tasks. You'll handle the relationships that you have with work and clients. You'll handle your personal relationships really well about 83% of the time. But recent research indicates that most of us struggle, not with the 83, but the 17%. And the 17% moments is when we're under extraordinary stress and deadlines, or we have a challenging relationship that is all of a sudden emerged. It could be with a business partner, it could be with a staff individual, it could be with a client. And the point that I like to make is your true leadership, influence, and reputation will not be defined in the 83. It's going to be defined in the 17% moments. So how you handle those 17% moments will determine your true success, your performance, and your sustainability. And so I'm able at that point to lead into giving them some of the tools and tactics to help them with the 17% moments. So that's what that's about. It's always intriguing to people, and they get it. And then, you know, we talk about self-awareness. We talk about self-regulation. We talk about how to manage your emotions, how to disengage at times so you can re-engage more powerfully and come up with good solutions. So I explain a lot of the neuroscience behind emotional hijackings and how you've got to be able to manage those 18 to 20 minutes or so when you get emotionally hijacked. And so, which happens to me nearly every day, but it just is a matter of life because we're emotional beings. So that's what the 17% moments are, and I love to talk about it and help people kind of grow in that understanding.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love the concept. So besides your book, Splash, what are you most passionate about? And I want you to be sure and let everyone know where they can connect with you, because I know they're going to want more information than what we have to cover just on our short call today.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. Well, you know, again, just being just an open book, I'm most passionate about my family. I've been married to my wife over 30 years. We have three adult children. I now have, believe it or not, six grandchildren.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So it's quite a family clan. We love that family time that we get. It's not as often as we like because everybody's busy, but we try to make that happen. And then I just, again, my calling is what I get up every morning. I'm so thankful to be able to get up in the morning, excited to go to work, excited to meet with my clients or speak. Yesterday, driving up to Everett, north of Seattle, meeting with 40 of the command staff. I literally was so thankful of the privilege to be able to do that. So that's what I'm most passionate about. I'd be thrilled to connect with your listeners. My website is pretty easy. It's my name. It's stevegutzler.com. So Steve, and the last name is G-U-T-Z-L-E-R, stevegutzler.com. My email is steve@stevegutzler.com. And I have a wonderful, vibrant following on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at stevegutzler there, and other social media sites. But on my website is my speaking. There's a 2017 speaker packet if anybody's interested in that, and information on my book Splash, and those kinds of things. So Vicki, it's such a privilege to be with you, such an honor. You're a delight and so generous to have me and reach out. I really appreciate it so much.
Oh, well, it's been a total joy and so informative to have you here and sharing your wisdom. So thank you so much for the generosity of your time and, again, for the generosity of the information on your website. So I hope everyone will visit stevegutzler.com and get to know Steve even better. Steve, thank you again.
Thank you, Vicki.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.